Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Grant Napier Show.
This is the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
This team, there he is again. My goodness.
Doug Christie, what a pass. Men against boys.
The Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
Crouches gets a step to the baseline. Right on with the right hand. Oh, boy.
Now, Grant Napier.
And a very pleasant afternoon. We wrap up the week solo. Doug Christie is off. He'll rejoin me on Tuesday. Hope you're all doing well. Well, the Kings finally are on the board this offseason with free agency as Yogi Ferrell, who looked like he was going to Dallas just a couple of days ago, apparently had a deal with the Dallas Mavericks. But Yogi backed out of his agreement with the Mavericks, which would have paid him $5.3 million over 2 years. And you know, that was, what, 24 hours ago that the two sides had agreed to that deal? And then Ferrell's agent informed Dallas that Yogi's decision was he was going to explore other options. So, from what I understand, all right, now you can talk to 20 different people. You may get 20 different stories here. ESPN reported that Tim McMahon of ESPN, he's the one that was talking about this, that a source in the Dallas Mavericks organization said that Ferrell's agent informed the Mavs of Yogi's decision after the team read the report online. How about that? Now, the agent, Tejada, declined comment, but that, to me, is a very good signing for Sacramento because it gives them a real good insurance policy behind De'Aaron Fox. Frank Mason did not have a good summer league. Doesn't mean he won't be good, but he did not have a good summer league. Yogi Ferrell started 50 games for the Dallas Mavericks out of 118. You know, if you remember, if you go back 2 years ago, he was one of the best stories in basketball. He was a G League call-up. He performed so well and became such a fan favorite that the Dallas Mavericks rewarded him with a two-year deal after his 10-day contract expired. Now, again, his numbers, 10.5 points, 3 assists, 50 starts in 118 games. All right, so you may ask yourself, why not Dallas? Well, they have Dennis Smith Jr., just like Sacramento has De'Aaron Fox. And they drafted Jalen Brunson. So I'm not so sure how that would have gone this year. But to me, this is exactly the type of move that I think Kings fans will be happy with. This guy plays all out all the time. He has 50 starts under his belt. He's productive when he's on the floor. He's one of these guys that has that proverbial chip on his shoulder, a guy that has literally had to fight for everything that he has earned in his professional life. Again, a G League call-up that made the most of it, and I don't see any negatives in this one for the Sacramento Kings. 2 years, only $6.2 million. I say only, wouldn't we all love to have that? And now he joins a Sacramento Kings backcourt. So if you want to talk about that, let's do it at 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Will the Kings be able to come to an agreement with Bielitsa, the free agent out of Minnesota? We reported 2 days ago that the Kings had reached out to him. As of right now, we don't have any update on that other than the fact that Bielitsa is still available. And if you can get Bielitsa, then that really crosses off two needs that you had after looking at this team in summer league. And that is another point guard and a small forward stretch four. And that's what Bielitsa is. Now, they don't have him yet. I don't know where that stands in terms of luring him to Sacramento. But if you could end up with Yogi Ferrell and if you could end up with Bielitsa, then that fills two needs as you start training camp in September. Are they great players? No, they're not great players. Are they parts of the puzzle? Are they pieces of the puzzle that the Kings need? Yes. Do I believe that the Kings fans will like Yogi Ferrell? No, I think the Kings fans will absolutely fall in love with Yogi Ferrell. He's a perfect player for this community and the way he plays. So again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. All right, let's talk a little golf. They're at the halfway point at the Open in Carnoustie. And this is going to be, like most majors, really fun to watch. And I think when you look at the leaderboard and you look at Johnson, when you look at Kisner at 6 under par, Tommy Fleetwood, who was Doug Christie's pick to win it, he's at 5 under after shooting a spectacular round of 65. I took Ricky Fowler to win his first tournament, and he's in very good shape. He is in a group at 3 under par, along with Jordan Spieth. Tony Finau, who we talked about a day ago, 4 under par. Matt Kuchar, 4 under par. Rory McIlroy, 4 under par. So we get to the weekend, and yeah, oh, by the way, Tiger Woods with another even par. Now, I want to talk about this for a minute because, you know, people are talking about Tiger Woods as if he is playing great golf. He's not playing great golf. All right, you got to stop it with this nonsense. Now, I get the fact that he is still within basically 1 year of his latest setback and comeback. So, you know, I know his comeback's been several years, but in earnest, it's been less than a year. And, you know, am I supposed to be excited that Tiger Woods, for the first time since 2013 in a major, was even or better? Hey, I like watching Tiger, too. He's great for golf. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's no negatives here. But, I mean, if you listen to the media, you know, and I was listening to the tournament on radio today for a little while, and in watching the national TV programs, I mean, you would think that Tiger Woods is leading this tournament by 10 strokes. You know, and again, you know, you see him being interviewed, and it says best 36-hole score at Carnoustie as a professional. That's great. That's great. But, you know, I don't know how to explain this to you. Tiger Woods is tied for 29th with 2 days left. And I'm not saying he can't win this weekend because he's 6 off the pace. But here's the problem. You know, I'm not impressed with the even par at the Open. I'm just not. You know, to me, even par at the Open, that's a dime a dozen. I mean, even par on a course like Carnoustie and the way it's playing right now, I'm not impressed with even par. If you're not in the red on this golf course with benign conditions after 2 days, then I'm not taking you seriously going into the weekend. Now, there are a lot of great players that are behind Tiger Woods with tremendous, tremendous credentials. And I don't mean to make it seem like the course at Carnoustie this year is like playing miniature golf. I don't want to paint that picture. I mean, guys like Justin Thomas and you know, Dustin Johnson, they didn't make the cut. There are a lot of good golfers. Bubba Watson didn't make the cut. You know, Bubba shoots 75-73. Dustin Johnson, 76-72. So, you know, I don't want to make it seem like the course is super easy. But, I mean, people are getting carried away with Tiger Woods right now. You know what? Let me see Tiger Woods on the back nine Sunday with a chance to win the tournament, and maybe I will change my tune. You know, I talked with Steve Sands of the Golf Channel and NBC Sports, who is part of the broadcast team right now at Carnoustie. I talked with him on Friday up at Lake Tahoe. I'm sure you heard the interview. And he agrees with me on Tiger Woods. He doesn't think he's close to winning. And he doesn't think he's ever going to win another tournament. You know, to me, if you're going to win, and yes, I understand he's six back. I get that. But here's the problem when you're six back. And here's the problem when you're six back and tied for 29th. Okay? There are too many golfers ahead of you. And let's just call it the way it is. One of the golfers ahead of Tiger Woods is going to go out and shoot a 65 or a 66 tomorrow. It's going to happen. And that golfer is still going to be a minimum of 6 strokes ahead of Tiger. So, to me, I don't see how Tiger Woods is going to be able to begin Sunday within 5 shots of the lead. And within 10 guys of the lead. There's just too many good golfers ahead of him. Look at Rory, 69-69. Look at Tommy Fleetwood, 65 today. Look at Zach Johnson today, 67, 4 under par. Xander Schauffele, 5 under par today. Matt Kuchar, 3 under par today. Jordan Spieth, 4 under par today. Ricky Fowler, 2 under par today. Brooks Koepka, 2 under par today. Kyle Stanley, 2 under par today. I mean, here's what Tiger Woods did today. He was even par. Yes, you're in the hunt. Absolutely. And I'm not expecting too much out of Tiger, but it seems like everybody else is. Listen, the guy, you have to contend with him. You cannot ignore him. But, I mean, you would think that Tiger Woods has already won the first two majors of the year and is going for his trifecta this weekend at Carnoustie. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It is over-the-top absurd. All right, let's talk about that at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. All right, let's talk some baseball. We'll have it for you tonight. We're going to get you to the Coliseum coming your way at 6:15. The A's and the Giants. And as you look at the standings to start the second half of the season in baseball, let's start with the American League. All right? Boston and New York. One of those teams winning the division, the other team is going to be the wild card. Cleveland is going to win their division unless a catastrophe hits their franchise. They're going to win the Central. Houston, in all likelihood, is going to win their division. And that leaves Seattle and Oakland fighting it out for the second wild card in the American League. Seattle, 39 losses. Oakland, 42 losses. And when you look at the A's, they have won 21 of their last 27 games. Now to the National League. The NL East is completely up for grabs between Philly, Atlanta, and Washington. I'm including Washington because they're six back in the loss column, and I'm still not sold on Philadelphia and Atlanta for the second half of the season. Cubs and Brewers, one of those teams will win the division. Dodgers, Diamondbacks, Rockies, Giants, all separated by 4 games. The Giants are 5 back in the loss column. So, starting tonight at the Coliseum, you've got the Giants and the A's, and the Giants coming off a weekend before the All-Star break where they lost 2 of 3 to the Oakland A's. And when you look at the pitching matchups, all right, tonight, you've got Derek Rodriguez, and Edwin Jackson. All right, tomorrow, 6 o'clock, Madison Bumgarner, Trevor Cahill. And then you wrap it up on Sunday, Johnny Cueto is back, Sean Manaea. That's the 3-game series as you look at the first weekend of the second half of the season. And then that gets you to, okay, are any of these teams that we just discussed going to be making a move to bolster their team the way the Dodgers just did? So if you want to talk some baseball, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Oakland, after this weekend, they begin a series Monday in Arlington taking on the Texas Rangers. So, you know, their schedule looks pretty good. They've played pretty well on the road. And I would think they've got to be pretty confident as they start the second half of the season. The Giants, meanwhile, they go to Seattle as they continue interleague play beginning on Tuesday. So 339-1140, 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. All right, so here's the deal with the NBA. I want to get back to a couple of things here, all right, because I want to kick off this show talking about this. And by the way, coming up on the show today at 5 o'clock, we are going to have Greg Knapp, one of the first guys that I met when I moved to Sacramento. He is the quarterback coach for Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. Local product, played quarterback at Sacramento State, was a, I think the term was graduate assistant when he joined Coach Matto's staff with Sacramento State in the late 80s. And his career has been unbelievably interesting to follow for a local kid that played college football at Sac State. So Greg Knapp, the quarterback's coach for the Atlanta Falcons, he is going to be coming your way at 5 o'clock. But for right now, I want to talk a little NBA basketball. And I want to talk about what we've seen so far in the last couple of weeks. All right? because the signs keep on going. The Lakers, they're adding on wherever they can. They get Michael Beasley on a one-year, $3.5 million deal. All right? So he will go play with LeBron James. And LeBron played with Beasley for 1 year back in 2013 when they were with the Miami Heat. So LeBron knows Beasley. Beasley knows LeBron. And from all reports, LeBron is a fan of Michael Beasley. I don't know why he's a fan of Michael Beasley, but he is, but that's okay. We'll leave that to LeBron. All right, we talked about this a day ago. You've got Carmelo Anthony. And I think the Oklahoma City Thunder, as I said a day ago, they made out like bandits in this deal. They get Dennis Schroeder, who's going to be perfect on that team. The Philadelphia 76ers get Mike Muscala. You now have Carmelo Anthony, who is going to be waived and become a free agent. And we hear that the Rockets and the Heat are the front runners to get Carmelo Anthony. And as I said this a day ago, I don't know why anybody would want Carmelo Anthony, period. And if you are the Houston Rockets, you are not getting better by adding Carmelo Anthony. You have really dropped down in the West with allowing Trevor Ariza to go to Phoenix and Luke Bamute to go to the Clippers. You have just lost two valuable pieces from a team that won the West last year in the regular season. And now all of a sudden, you are going to add Carmelo Anthony. Would someone please explain to me how having Carmelo Anthony on the Houston Rockets makes them a better team? Like, I don't understand that. Now, I've got somebody talking to me about what's next for the Kings. They still have a lot of money. I've said for the last month that I thought the Kings would be lukewarm in free agency. I think next summer and the following summer will be when they are going to attack this full steam ahead. They will have the money to do so. This year, I think, is a lukewarm free agency period, as we have seen, as we are now on the 20th of July. If they can get a player like Bielitsa, and the market's very thin right now, we get that. I mean, you look at a team like Memphis, you know, they're talking about a one-year deal with Shelvin Mack. He played with the Magic last season. 8 years in the NBA. And so, you know, teams are making these type of deals right now. Now, Bielitsa's got an opportunity to go back and play in Europe. The Serb has, you know, he can leave. He can, and that's why he did not sign a one-year deal with Philadelphia. And he has said that he did not want to move his family for just 1 year. So that would tell me if he works out a deal with Sacramento, it's got to be a multi-year deal. Because if he's not going to go to Philadelphia for 1 year, he's not coming to Sacramento for 1 year, I would not believe. So if you want to comment on that, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. All right, I talked about this a day ago. And I don't want to get into the politics of this. I put out on Twitter last night about how fortunate I am to work for a league or in a league that has such a great commissioner in Adam Silver. And Adam Silver gets it. And I don't think that Roger Goodell gets it at all. I don't think the NFL gets it at all. You know, now the NFL and the NFL Players Association are agreeing to freeze the anthem rules for now. This should not happen. Okay? You should not get to a point a week before training camp for most of the teams where you don't know what the policy is for this controversial topic of standing for the anthem. Now, I think everyone knows how I feel on this. All right? I've been very, you know, I want my athletes standing for the anthem, period. I don't care. And I hope this doesn't sound like it's confusing. It doesn't matter to me whether they have the national anthem at the sporting events or not. It doesn't, I'm fine. If you call me up and say, you know what, get rid of the anthem at the NFL games, I'm like, okay, fine, get rid of the anthem. Like, I'm not losing sleep over it. I'm really not. But it does bother me. Okay, if the national anthem is going to be played and you can't stand for the national anthem, shame on you. That's how I feel. I have no problem saying that as an American citizen. That's how I feel. If you cannot stand for 2 minutes to respect the country that you live in, that's a real problem for me personally. That's just me. Now, am I still going to go to the games? Yes. Am I still watching the games? Yes. All right? But that's how I feel. I don't have any issues if you feel differently. I don't have a problem. I don't even want to debate it with you because I respect your right as an American to stand or do whatever you want. That's fine. I'm not going to try to change your mind. Don't try to change my mind. I'm telling you how I feel. Okay? It doesn't matter to me whether they play the anthem at the games or not. If they come up next week and they say the NFL has decided that they are no longer going to have national anthems played before their football games, I'm like, fine, don't have the national anthem. But if you're going to have the national anthem, stand for the anthem. Like, I don't think that is asking too much. And that's why I said what I said on Twitter last night, because Adam Silver gets it. And Doug and I have talked a lot about this. Adam Silver came out before the season and said, the players in the NBA will be standing for the national anthem. And did you see anyone not stand for the anthem this year in the NBA? No. Because the NBA gets it, and the Players Association gets it, and the commissioner also has encouraged the players in the National Basketball Association, along with the Players Association president, Michelle Roberts, to continue to be active in what you believe in, and in many instances, the NBA is supporting those athletes and those from the different teams. And the players get that, and they know that, and they feel that they are, for lack of a better term, true partners with the powers to be in the NBA. Now, I'm sure that there would be some players that would disagree with that, that still are not happy with the way things are, but you're always going to have athletes that are unhappy. That's just the way it is. But again, the NFL doesn't know what they're doing. They have no clue. You know, they're changing their minds every 10 minutes on this. Don't stand, stand. You want to go, you don't want to stand, go into the locker room. You want to do this, we're going to fine you. You want to do that, we're going to fine you. You got this team over here, you don't stand, we're going to suspend you. This team over here, go ahead, we'll pay the fines for our players if they don't stand. Like, it doesn't need to be coming down to this. The league has completely botched this thing up, the NFL. And you know what? They're getting exactly what they deserve for being a mismanaged, multi-billion dollar business. Because if Roger Goodell has not been able to figure this out, then he's the wrong commissioner for the National Football League. Adam Silver certainly figured it out, and he figured it out in a hurry. The NBA figured it out. The NFL, it's like they have no clue to what they're doing. No clue at all. All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You want to talk about this. Again, I'm not getting into what you believe and what I believe. I'm fine. If you don't want to stand for the anthem, you're not offending me by saying that. I wish you would, but I'm not losing sleep over it. And I don't want you being offended by me saying I am bothered by people that do not stand for the anthem. That bothers me. I'm not losing sleep over it. I'm not going to stop watching the games. I'm not going to stop paying to go watch games, but it bothers me, okay? I think it's disrespectful. And you should respect my opinion on how I feel about that, as I would expect you to understand that I respect if you disagree with me. All right, I'm not going to get into a battle here. I'm just not dealing with that. I'm just telling you how I feel. And if you feel differently, that's fine. But I'm not going to debate it for 3 hours on the radio. What I am saying is the NFL should be ashamed of themselves. That's what I'm saying. Because they have botched this thing up as bad as you can. It's an embarrassment for the league. An absolute embarrassment. And when I turn on the TV to start watching the NFL in September, I don't want to have to watch, you know, 30 minutes of the pregame show, which I won't even watch anymore because they're going to be covering all of these issues. That's not why I'm watching the NFL. So when I see that before the game, I'm turning it off. When the ball is put on the tee, I'm turning it on. That's how I'm handling it. I'm a big fan of the NFL. I love football. It's been a part of my life ever since I could remember. I probably don't know if there's anyone in the audience listening right now that's been to more NFL games than I have. And I can almost guarantee you there's no one listening to my show right now that went to an NFL game earlier than I did at age 3. And that was on a regular basis. So the NFL has been a part of my life for basically my entire life. And I'm still going to the games. And if you don't want to play the anthem, don't play the anthem. But let's play football. We'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHTK. Hi, Grant Napier is with you on this Friday. Doug is off. He's going to be off until Tuesday. We've got A's baseball tonight as they take on the Giants. We'll get you to the Coliseum at 6:15. Why don't we get to some phone calls, and we start with Brandon. Hello, Brandon.
Hi, Grant. Just wanted to get your take on the Yogi Ferrell signing. Your thoughts and opinions on it.
I like it. The Kings need help at point guard after De'Aaron Fox. Frank Mason did not have a good summer league. Doesn't mean that he won't be a good player, but I think the Kings needed an insurance policy. And Yogi Ferrell, who started 50 games over a two-year period for the Dallas Mavericks, plays an up-tempo style. He is exactly the type of player that the Kings are looking for based on the price that they signed him. So I'm ecstatic by it. I really am. I think this is tremendous. It gives the Kings a known commodity in terms of depth at a point guard position.
Cool. I like it, Grant. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Hey, thank you for the call. Trevor, welcome to the show. Hi, Trevor.
Hey, Grant. How are you doing? Happy Friday.
Same to you, Trevor.
Hey, so I couldn't agree with you more on what you're talking about with, with the owner and Goodell. And if he can't get this right, then, I just think he's not the right commissioner for the job. And do you think that certain players now, if you have Miami having this policy and then you have the Jets, say, having a totally completely different, kind of standard, that players would want to go to certain teams because they necessarily would, And so just seeing that happen and, like you said, them just changing every 10 minutes with a different, kind of thing to do with their situation here.
First of all, this shouldn't be left up to the individual teams. This should be a league policy. It's exactly the way Adam Silver handled it. He didn't say, I'm going to leave it up to the 30 teams in the league to dictate to their players how they would like them to be during the course of wearing a uniform in their arena. Okay. The NFL is just a joke when it comes to this stuff. I think that, I've been a big supporter of Roger Goodell, but I'm having a very difficult time supporting him as this continues to become more and more of a farce. It's like the NFL has a rudderless leader. Roger Goodell, what are you doing for crying out loud?
Yeah, yes, sir. And then if I can, just have like a second, I had a question for you. It's kind of hypothetical, but I remember the question yesterday that the guy asked you about what coaching, NBA,
yeah,
hockey.
Yeah.
Baseball.
It was a very good question.
So
yes.
I had a hypothetical. Yeah. And I had a question kind of for you. So hypothetically, do you think Tiger Woods is going to win his Masters first, or do you think LeBron, who's going to, is Tiger?
I don't think Tiger's ever going to win another tournament. I don't think Tiger will win another tournament. I definitely do not think he will win a major. I really don't.
Okay, I just had a question. What do you think would happen first if
let me ask you. I just answered your question without answering because I just said I don't think Tiger's ever going to win. But so let me ask you, Trevor. You think Tiger wins? Yeah. Tiger Woods will win any more tournaments?
That's tough. No, not with the competition he has now compared to what he had back in the day. No, I don't see him winning. I'm with you on that. Yep.
And you just hit the key word, the competition. Like, there's just
– yeah.
I mean, look at a guy like Tommy Fleetwood today. When we think of golfers, Tommy Fleetwood does not jump up. But Tommy Fleetwood shoots a 65 today and is right there at one shot off the lead. There's just golfers all over the world that are so talented right now. And of course we saw Tommy Fleetwood almost set a U.S. Open single round record at Shinnecock. So it's not like the guy's chopped liver, but the point is there are just too many really good golfers right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, thank you so much, Grant, for the call. And, you have a great weekend and a great rest of your Friday. Thank you.
Hey, you too. Thanks very much, Trevor. Let's get to Dylan. Dylan, you're on with Grant Napier. Go right ahead.
Hey, Grant, how's it going? I wanted to touch on this new signing, man. I like it, and I like the other move that they're talking about too, man. I like these kind of bench role player guys because we don't need necessarily stars or guys to come in and be starters. We want our young guys to take that over. So what we need is good dudes around them that can compete with them and drive them to be better in practice and compete for the starting job and not necessarily come in and take it from somebody. So I like these kind of signings, man, and the money's good too, and it keeps the flexibility good for the future. And as far as the national anthem thing goes, man, I just wish it would go away. I'm sick of hearing about
it. Me too. I'm with you. And unfortunately, the NFL, they keep on shooting themselves in the foot because they don't know how to handle it. That's the problem. They don't have the proper leadership to handle this. That's the big problem with what's going on in the NFL.
Yeah, from the very beginning and still, it seems
it's a joke.
And, you know, I don't know. And, yeah, the Rockets, I don't know, man. The Carmelo Anthony thing, I think they're messing up. I think they'd have been better off with what they had.
All right, thank you very much for the call. We get to Ramiz. Ramiz, welcome. How are you?
How you doing, Grant?
Good. Ramiz, what's shaking?
I just want to get your opinion. I really don't want this to happen, but have you heard any talks about us trying to acquire Ryan Anderson?
No, I have not. The only way the Kings are going to acquire Ryan Anderson is if they get a bunch of draft picks with it. I don't see that happening. So I would say it's highly unlikely that they're going to get Ryan Anderson.
You know, I like that signing today, but Grant, the player that, you know, I called you guys last year, the player I really want, he's still young. Remember, he came out of UCLA, drafted number 14 overall by the Minnesota Timberwolves, Shabazz Muhammad. Tell me about his game.
What about Shabazz Muhammad? What do you want? What's the question?
I know he's more offensively. I just think he'd fit very well with our team. No, I don't know. Hopefully, Vlade reaches out to him because I know he's still he hasn't been signed yet.
I would have to look on Shabazz Muhammad. Do I like him? Yeah, I'm fine with Shabazz Muhammad if he ends up on the Kings. I don't think he's on the team's radar, but I'll try to do a little more research on that.
All right, thanks a lot, Grant.
Hey, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. 339-1140. That's 339-1140. 800-920-1140. Again, I do like picking up Yogi Ferrell. You know, to me, he's not coming in and he's not starting. All right, De'Aaron Fox is the starting point guard. You have Frank Mason, who got hurt a lot last year, showed signs that he could be, you know, a good backup point guard, and then did not play well coming down the stretch and did not have a good summer league. Now, it doesn't mean I'm giving up on him. Doesn't mean that Dave Yeager and Vlade Divac has given up on him. But you have to go into the season at the point guard position. You can't expect that De'Aaron Fox is going to play all 82 games. And you got to have a guy, let's say Frank struggles a little bit coming out of training camp. Well, then what? You know, we know that Bogdan Bogdanovic at times will be handling the ball. There's no question about that. But you've got to have a guy that, let's say De'Aaron Fox is out for 5 games. You have to have a guy that you can say, all right, here's the ball, and you and Bogey and Frank, you know, get the job done. I like that. You know, again, Yogi Ferrell started 50 games in 2 seasons for the Mavs. And he's excited to be here. I like a lot of these. I like a lot of things with Yogi Ferrell. Is he going to be on the All-Star team? No. Is he going to be a starter for the Kings? No. But he's what they need. So to me, 2 years, 6.2, no-brainer. We'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHTK. All right, Grant Napier on this Friday. Doug Christie is off, 339-1140, 800-920-1140, and we check in with William. Hello, William.
What's happening, Grant?
Hello.
How are you?
Good. What's happening?
So the NBA has a rule. So, I mean, doesn't it just make it easier for the NBA? They've always had this rule. I mean,
yeah, well, the NFL has a rule too, but they don't enforce the rule.
That says you have to stand and all that?
Yeah, they have an anthem policy. It went astray. The NBA, here's the deal. Players, because of this issue and other issues, if they don't want to follow the rules, they feel like they have a lot of leverage because they're going to get, you know, a lot of media behind them talking about it, and then it becomes a firestorm for the league. Whereas if the league gets out in front of it like the NBA did, then you don't have a problem. The NFL didn't get out in front of it. The NFL didn't know how to handle it. And now the NFL has got I don't want to say a nightmare on hands because I definitely don't think it's a nightmare. But they've got, you know, where we're getting ready for training camp and talking about football, they're talking about the national anthem. You know, I mean, like, how ridiculous is that? Now, think about that for a minute. We're getting ready to start a national Football League season. And yet, most of the talk is about the anthem. Is there anything more absurd than that? Seriously.
Yeah. No, I agree, but if it's not specific, the problem is you have the players' union and then you have the owners. And if it's not specific, I mean, I know the NBA, I haven't seen the specific rule for the NFL, but it's specific in the NBA. So they can't really question it because then the NBA can do whatever they want. It can't be that specific in the NFL. Or, yeah, it's really silly. If they have a specific one that says you must stand and line up like it says in the NBA, then the NFL, they can't do anything. But if it's not specific like that,
I don't know what the language says in the NFL, but you have to be out on the field. You have to be lined up on the sideline. I don't know what the actual, you know, word for word for word, what it says. But basically, what's that now?
The NBA is specific. And that's why you're never going to have a problem in the NBA. Because
I wouldn't say you're never going to have a problem in the NBA. I wouldn't go that far. I mean, the reality is, you know, if a couple of players in the NBA decided they didn't want to stand for the anthem and it followed suit, you know, I don't know what would be the end result of that, but I don't think that is going to happen with Adam Silver, only in the sense that Adam Silver got out in front of it and made it very clear about what the league was going to do. And, unfortunately, you don't have that with Roger Goodell.
Right, but when you have a specific rule with wording...
You know what? Rules don't mean a damn thing. I mean, you know what? Let's just get right down to it. Do you think that rules matter to the players that play professional sports? Do you think that a player really cares about an anthem rule? Seriously, now, let's just call it the way it is. Do you think that a player in the National Football League or the National Basketball Association is concerning themselves with a rule as it relates to the national anthem? No, they're not. They don't care. When I say they don't care, I'm not generalizing. What I'm saying is that, I mean, that's not the problem with pro sports now is that the players make so much money, they don't care if they get fined. It's not, it doesn't matter. So they get fined $15,000, $20,000, $25,000. They don't care. I mean, you've heard DeMarcus Cousins talk about it all the time when he gets fined $25,000 and $50,000. You know, you've heard his comments about what that means to him. These players, fining players $20,000 to $50,000 is like fining you and me a dollar. It doesn't matter anymore.
Well, that's going to be the next problem in the NFL. It's not going to have anything to do with the anthem. When the contract comes up, it's going to be about salary because baseball and NBA are making so much money. That is going to be the next major issue, is that the NFL is going to get – they're going to want their money because they're making so much money in the NFL, the owners, that they're going to want their money. So that's going to make the flag thing or the national anthem thing a minor dispute compared to what's coming, because they will – there's going to be either a lockout or a strike because of the money. And that's why if they had – my whole point about having specific rules is if somebody sat in the NBA, they could suspend them, and they couldn't say anything because it's specifically worded in their rules.
You can suspend a player in the NFL for not standing for the anthem too, because it falls under the collective bargaining agreement policy that's conduct detrimental to the team. And if a team has a rule that you stand for the anthem, like the Miami Dolphins came out with yesterday, and you don't do it, under the collective bargaining agreement, you can suspend a player for that.
Well, then the NFL is silly for not suspending all these players from the beginning if there were specific rules to do it, because they have the leverage. All you have to have it. I mean, how are the players going to argue? If it says in their rules.
You're preaching to the choir. I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. If they could do it. But I just think they can't do it.
They can't do it from a public relations perspective. That's what they can't do it. All right. This is all about, as you just mentioned a moment ago. Okay. You used the word, and the word you used was money. Okay. The reality is, okay, I don't think the NFL really cares what their players are doing before the game. Okay. But when their ratings go down and the sponsorship money declines and their piece of their pie gets smaller, because people are disgusted with it, or some people are disgusted with it, or maybe disgusted is too strong of a word. Some people are turned off by it, and they're turned off with the NFL, and the product as a whole at some point makes less money, then it becomes an issue for the NFL.
I would agree, yeah. And that's probably where it's going to come down to, is how much they end up losing based on the controversy over, which is, yeah, I agree. Just like
and you know what? It's a real shame that everything has to come down to money. I mean, it's a shame that we just can't get back to, you know, what's right and what's wrong. You know, that's what I don't quite understand. I just, you know, it always has to come down to the almighty dollar, whereas the almighty dollar is, you know, overlooked. You know, why don't we do what's right and what's not right? You know, why do we always have to? Everything is based on, gee, okay, well, the bottom line's being affected, so we need to make changes instead of just doing what's right.
But then, Grant, you'd have to do a whole different show that you don't want to get into because we have a materialistic society, and that's a whole nother.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm in sports. You know what? And I'm going to go one step further with what you just said. Not only is that why I'm in sports. Well, first of all, I'm in sports because it's my life and it's really what I know and it's my passion. Okay, but not as a member of the media and not as a announcer for the NBA, but as a sports fan who spends a significant amount of my income to go watch my favorite team play in football, I am a paying customer of the National Football League. And I am telling you that as a paying customer of a National Football League team and as a league, I don't want to see protests when I walk into the stadium. I don't want to see that. Okay, I don't want to see players kneeling for the national anthem. I'm bothered by that. I don't have a problem saying that. That bothers me. Now, it doesn't bother me enough where I'm walking out of the stadium, and it doesn't bother me enough where I'm not going to turn the game on Sundays. But if you're going to play the national anthem, stand for the national anthem. And if the league says a week from now that, you know what, the national anthem is creating too much controversy and therefore we're not going to play it, I'm fine with that too. I'm fine with that too. But if you're going to play it, stand for the anthem. I don't see why that is so hard. All right, 1 hour is in the books. We have got 2 hours and 15 minutes left right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.